This morning we are going to be in Luke chapter 23. So if you want to turn there, and like I said earlier, this is the beginning of that Passion Week where it begin with the triumphal entry, and it travels through the trials, illegal trials, and the process of walking down the Via Dolorosa, going to the cross, hanging on the cross. And things look pretty grim, but next Sunday's on the way. And we can praise God for that. So this morning, I want us to look at this passage, and I've titled it, or this is not really a title, I guess it is, but it's just something to put in the bulletin. But it was more or less, God put me this week in Pilate's seat. That was a very uncomfortable place, I'm just telling you. So what am I to do as a pastor? But I'm going to put you in Pilate's seat. Hey, if I'm going to be uncomfortable, then you're going to be uncomfortable. And so this morning, as we look into this passage, there are basically three different what I call groups. There are two of them are just men, but there's a group that consists of the chief priests and the rulers and the crowd of Jewish people that were trying to kill Jesus. There was Pilate, and there was Herod. And so as we look at them, we could actually take a look and see that there are those people that hated Jesus. Man, they wanted him put to death. And then there's that man that he didn't really know much about Jesus. He'd probably heard of him, but he didn't really know much about him. And then there was that guy that he had heard of him. He even kind of looked forward to seeing him, but just for the miracles, hoping to see a miracle. And so as we look at this, I pulled that one man out, Pilate. And so let's go ahead and let's start reading in chapter 23, verse 1. It says, "Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king.' Then Pilate asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' He answered and said, 'It is as you say.' So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, 'I find no fault in this man.' But they were more fierce, saying, 'He stirs up people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place.' When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been in enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, 'You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. Neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it is necessary for him to release one of them at the feast.' And they all cried out at once, saying, 'Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas,' who had been thrown into prison for certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Then he said to them a third time, 'Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.' But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you. Lord, as we read what took place, Lord, we can't even really get a glimpse or understand what's going on. But Father, I pray that today as we study your word, as we allow your scripture to speak to us, that we would be open. Lord, we can't hear without you helping us. We need you, God. We need your spirit to move among us. We need your word to teach us and shape us and mold us, make us what you desire. Lord, may it be about you today and always. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you up front. And no, Donis, you don't have to run downstairs, but my notes are on my desk. But that's all right. We will get by. As we look at this passage, there's so much going on. And like I said, there's three groups. Some hated him, some didn't know him, and one wanted to see him. But today, I want us to get, and I want to forget the crowd for just a moment, and I want to forget Herod for just a moment, and I want us to look at Pilate. And like it says in the middle of that, in verse 17, it says it was necessary at this time during the feast, or the tradition was to release one prisoner. And that's what that's talking about. That was tradition. But before that, we look at Pilate. They bring Jesus to Pilate, and they bring him to him, and they accuse him of all these things. He's perverting the nations, and their nation was already perverted. And that would be another whole sermon for our nation. But the nation was already bad, and he wasn't causing trouble. And they accused him of telling people not to pay taxes. Well, there's a simple verse that he told them, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. So that's a blatant lie. And they accused him of saying he was the Christ, a king. Well, call it what it is. It was the truth. And so two of these were not true. One that was true, but the one that was true was not causing any problems to Rome. And that's what they were hoping for. They were hoping to, because Pilate's job was to collect taxes and to keep the peace, they thought they had him. Hey, this is the guy we're going to go to. We're going to go to Pilate because in keeping the peace, hey, if we can convince him that Jesus is causing riots, then that's his job, is to keep the peace. Or if Jesus is telling people not to pay taxes, well, that's Pilate's job. And so they presented Jesus to Pilate. Now, he didn't even know where Jesus was from. He says, was this man from Galilee? And so he didn't really know much about Jesus. He had probably heard a little bit about Jesus, but this was really the first time that he had been presented with Jesus. And he didn't know much about him, and he really didn't want to deal with him. I mean, that was just a lot more than he wanted to do. And so he chooses to send him away when he realizes he's from Galilee, which is under Herod's jurisdiction. I want to stop right there for just a moment. Because Jesus was presented to Pilate. He didn't know him. Didn't want to know him. Didn't want to deal with him. So he sent him away. I want you to stop and think about the first time you were presented with Jesus. Most of us, probably all of us, were stubborn enough or felt like we didn't know enough that the first time we were presented with Jesus, we sent him away. That's what we do. Because when you were in VBS or Sunday school or mom and dad or who, grandma and grandpa, whoever shared Jesus with you that first time, you probably didn't really know much about him. You probably didn't really know how to deal with him. Maybe it was at church camp. Maybe it was, at VBS. Wherever it happened to be, that first time you were presented with Jesus, you probably sent him away. That's what most of us did. Because the first time, we were not real receptive. We were not open. And so we sent him away. If you're lost today, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to present you Jesus today. I want to present the Christ that died on the cross for your sins. I want to present to you the Son of God who laid down His glory in heaven and came to earth for you. I want you to understand that with the sin that we have in our lives as human beings, we deserve death. But that God that loved us, that God that came down to earth, He came down for you. Not the person beside you right now. I don't want you to think about that because I'm not presenting Jesus to them. I'm presenting Jesus to you. And so you need to focus that He is to you. He has been presented to you. And today you've got two choices. You can accept Him or you can send Him away. Like I said, most of us have been presented before with Jesus. And a lot of times we've sent Him away. Put Him out of our mind. Send Him to somebody else. That's what we do. But then there are also some of us in this room that are Christians. And when we were presented with Christ at some point, probably not the first time, but at some point we were presented with Christ and we received Him. We accepted Him and we realized what He had done on that cross. He had done for us. He had done for me. He had done for you if you've accepted Him. And you believed that. You received that. You took Him into your heart. You surrendered your life to Him and you've chosen to live your life for Him. That's what we've done. Because at some point we were presented with Christ and at some point we received Him. But you know what? Those people that haven't accepted Christ that may be sitting out here aren't the only ones that have sent Him away. Because I would be wrong if I was to actually sit here and think that just because we're Christians, every time God called on us, every time God gave us an opportunity to minister or witness, that we did that. No, there's been times in my life, and I know probably in yours, but I can't speak for you, but I'm speaking to you as an individual. There has been times in your life and in my life that God has presented an opportunity of Jesus to share with somebody. And I sent it away. I sent it to somebody else. Well, you know, he'd be better off if he'd go talk to Ken. Or he'd be better off if she'd go talk to Kay. We send them away, those opportunities to share Jesus with people, we send them away. And you and I are presented with those every single day of our life. Pilate was presented with Jesus, and he didn't want to deal with them. When I'm presented with those opportunities and you're presented with those opportunities, well, you know, I don't know what to say. Well, they may not receive what I've got to say. But if we don't present them, they don't have that opportunity. There may be people sitting in this building today that have never received Jesus because I didn't present Him to them. I didn't share who He was because I don't know all the theological terminology and all that stuff. I don't know all the Sunday school answers and I don't know all the youth group answers and I don't know if I'm going to say the right things. You don't have to know that stuff. Because just like this crowd to Pilate, all they did was present Jesus. All that other stuff didn't matter. All those other accusations didn't matter. All the other things that they said didn't matter. He was presented to Jesus, and Pilate was going to have to deal with it. You and I are presented with Jesus today. If you come in here and you've never accepted Christ, you've been presented with Jesus. You've been presented with the salvation of Jesus. By the grace of God, we're allowed to have that. We're allowed to have righteousness through the blood of Jesus. We have been presented with Jesus. Christians, you will be presented with Jesus by the time the day is over to share Jesus with somebody. Well, I may not even leave my house then. That's okay. Present Jesus to somebody in your house. Even if they're a Christian, they still need Jesus. They still need that relationship. They still need that encouragement. They still need that reminder. If there's nobody in your house, go stand in front of a mirror. Because you need Jesus. You need the encouragement. You need the conviction. You need everything that He calls us. Open up your Bible and let Him present Jesus to you. Well, Pastor, like you said, I'm already a Christian. I've been a Christian for 40 years. Do you know it all? No. There's more in here. Let Him present you with Jesus. Because when I present you with Jesus, man, you guys know me. I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm going to say things wrong. Allow Him to present you with Jesus. Pilate sent him away. And he thought he had an out. Send him to Herod. We're going to skip the Herod part for this morning. Put another whole sermon there. But it tells us in 11 that he sent him back to Pilate. After they'd mistreated him, they sent Jesus back to Pilate. And man, Pilate, it almost sounds like he's a good guy here for a moment. Right? I mean, he says, I found no fault in him. He's done nothing wrong. Herod couldn't find anything wrong. Nothing deserving of death, surely. So why don't I just release him? Because the custom is that we release one person. I'll tell you what, I can find nothing wrong with this Jesus, so let's just release him. And the crowd said no. The crowd began to scream, crucify him. Release the murderer to us. Three times he said, what evil has he done? I found nothing for death. Let me just chastise him and send him out. And they refused. They kept screaming and their voices got louder and louder and louder. Well, we can read over in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 27, where Pilate's wife said, hey, don't have anything to do with this just man. I've suffered much in dreams today because of this guy. So he had crowds of people saying, crucify the innocent just man. And he had one voice in the back of his head, his wife. He should have known better to listen to his wife. But he didn't. But he had one voice in the back of his head saying, he's innocent. Don't have anything to do with him. He was confronted now. I mean, it's not the same as presented. When you present somebody with something, that's easy. That's a simple thing. I set it out here before you, and you've got a choice. You can go to a restaurant this afternoon, and the waitress or waiter is going to give you a menu, and they're going to present you with whatever they have there. And you get to choose. It's presented before you. That's what happened the first time, but this time it's not that way. He had been sent back, and he couldn't get out of this. He was confronted with Jesus this time. The difference in presenting Jesus and being confronted with Jesus, two different ball games. There's no way to get out of it. You've got to choose. The option is this. You can either listen to this crowd, Pilate, and they're getting worse. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be, the louder they're going to get. And then you've got your wife that sat back here. We know she said it once. It's all recorded in Scripture. And she said, don't have anything to do with this just man. Pilate was confronted. And in this situation, he could not get out of it. If you're in here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this may not be that day, but there will come a time when you will be confronted with Jesus. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed for every man to die once and after that to face the judgment. Everyone is going to be confronted with Jesus. We'll be presented with Him many times in this life. But there will be a time when you are confronted with Jesus. And you're going to have to make a decision. Just like Pilate. They were not going to let him out of making a decision. It was right there in front of him. He had already found that there was nothing wrong. But yet he had people telling him this, and he had his wife telling him this, and he was going to have to make a decision. That crowd was not going to go away. He was coming to a point of confrontation to where he had to make a choice. And he asks this question, and it's recorded in a couple of the Gospels, and I used to love this question. What shall I do with the Christ? What shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? You know, when he asked that question, he had already released Barabbas. So he had already made his choice. He's thinking as he looks at that, you know, here I released Barabbas, and so now what do I do with Jesus? There's no other option. Your option was to release Jesus, or Jesus is going to die. That was his only option. So by the time he asked that question, what shall I do with Jesus? It was too late. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this world that when they realize they've been confronted with Jesus and they want to decide, well, what am I going to do now? It's too late. It doesn't have to be. He had three opportunities, and probably more than that, to release Jesus. And he couldn't decide who to listen to. You and I are the same place. If you're lost, you're going to be confronted, and there's going to be two voices out there. And it's not going to be a crowd, and it's not going to be your wife. There's going to be two voices. There's a good voice, and there's an evil voice. I remember cartoons when I was growing up where they would always have the little red guy on one side and the little white guy on the other side, and they were arguing back and forth in your ear type of deal. Doesn't work that way. But there's two voices. There's two opinions. One is right and comes straight from the throne of God. And that may be delivered through somebody you know, somebody that loves you. And they're sharing with you what you need to do with Jesus. And there's another voice out there. And it doesn't come from that friend or that family member or that co-worker that is trying to keep you from God. That thought comes straight from the devil's hell. And he's just using whoever will allow him. Christians, you and I are confronted every day. If we're not, we need to be. Because we are put in a spot and we know that we have choices and options to minister and to serve, and there's other people that will do it if we miss out. And really, God's grace and God's sovereignty and God's providence really has it all worked out. Maybe you got to see that He is using you. And you need that nudge to get you into that confrontation to where you don't have a choice. I had that happen this past week. And I got to tell you, I was so blessed. I was sitting at home and I was eating my lunch. A friend called and said, hey, can you go to the nursing home and talk to somebody? And I was eating lunch. And I was able to go out. And I know God didn't give me a choice. Because when that voice called on the phone and said, go, I went. And because that voice called, because God sent that nudge to that person, I was able to witness to somebody and they accepted Christ. But I needed that nudge. I needed to be put in a spot where there is no way I could tell a friend of mine no. We need that. We need that confrontation. We need that nudge. We need that no way out. Go do what you're supposed to do. And God's sitting there waiting on you. Waiting to bless you. Waiting to use you to bless someone else. Well, Pilate had a choice. And he made the wrong one. He made the wrong choice. He released the murderer and delivered Jesus to the will of evil people. Today, you've been presented with Jesus. If you're lost, you've been presented with Jesus. If you're a Christian, you've been presented with opportunities to share Jesus with people. We will be confronted. And I pray, Christians, you're confronted every day. I pray that you expect confrontation every day. I pray that you cannot find a way out. But you have no choice but say, okay, there's no looking back. There's no turning right or left. I've got to go. If you've never accepted Christ, you're going to face confrontation at some point. You will be confronted with Jesus at some point. It may not be in this life. It may. Be ready for that confrontation. Make the choice. Because I want to tell you about some other choices made as I close. We know what Pilate's choice was. I don't know what your choice is going to be. You don't know what my choice is going to be. But I want to share with you some of Jesus' choices. His choice to do the Father's will because He loved you. Again, let's get personal. Let's get individual. I'm not talking to the person beside you. I'm talking to you. Jesus chose to follow the Father's will because He loved you. Jesus chose to be in such anguish that His sweat was like drops of blood in the garden. But He did that for you. He chose to send out Judas, knowing that what was going to happen was going to make it possible for you to get to heaven. He was beaten, and He chose to take it because He loves you. He hung on that cross. Bible tells us He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, but He died alone for you and me. He chose to do that because He loves us that much. That's just some of the choices Jesus made. All based on His love for you. Now I want to lay this out there today. If you're lost, you've got choices to make. I pray that you make them based on the love Jesus has for you. Christian, you have choices to make, and I pray that you make them based on your love for Him. You already know how much He loves you, but your choices are going to show how much you love Him. It's that simple. You're in Pilate's seat today. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we just thank You for all that You do. Lord, move among us. Change hearts. Change lives. Do not let us leave this place the same as we walked in. God, help us to live with urgency. Help us to live with passion. Help us to live through love. In your name we pray. Amen.